my name is Dave Hannity and there will be no encore. Welcome to episode 44 of the No Encore Music Podcast. We are joined today by Girl Band, one of my favourite bands in the country and in fact the entire world. Myself and my trusty co-host Cole Morrigan got to sit down with Dara and Daniel from the band ahead of their very important gig in Vicar Street that's coming up on February the 17th. We talk about that, we talk about vomit, we talk about wrestling, we talk about lots of wrestling actually. We talk about Michael Owen, we talk about musicals, Conor McGregor, feminism, you know, like is Girl Band a problematic name out there? What do they think about that? It's an argument that gets raised here and there, that comes up. Trips to the States, you name it. It was a really, really fun hour, I have to say. I'm delighted with this episode. They're very, very interesting characters, very gregarious. And I won't build this up any further. Let's just dive right in. This is Girl Band on No Encore. Delighted to be joined on No Encore by the one and only Girl Band. Colm and I are going to do some applauding now, yes. Welcome along, guys. How are we?
Good, yeah. Had a bit of a night terror in the morning today.
That's not good.
I was asleep and then I started to shout very loudly.
Jesus, I had a horrible nightmare that woke me up this morning in which my own brother tried to kill me.
Oh,
that was fun. You've outdone me.
Yeah, felt very real.
There was a bloke in my room in my dream. He wasn't just standing there.
He had a rope. So do you actually have like sleep paralysis, like that kind of stuff they make documentaries about?
No, I as of today, I believe I'm part of the Sleep Screamers Anonymous or something. I don't know what it is, but I slept okay.
Jeez. So to answer your question, grand.
Is this a new development? Because this sounds terrifying.
It's pretty terrifying, not gonna lie.
Fuck.
But yeah.
You always kind of hope that those things are exaggerated, but I've heard stories of people just being of having that, like, you know, I woke up and there's like a woman sitting on my chest or something. You're just like, but not a real.
That's not the worst thing that you have when you wake up,
the
mate.
Incubus dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which sounds really
funny. Not drinking. Yeah. I'm having a.
Yeah. Whatever tomorrow.
That's a deep cutting.
That's worrying.
Yeah.
That's worrying.
Was there? You in?
Are you in? Yeah.
Classic.
Wish
I've
you were here.
I've had sleep paralysis before. It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. It's unpleasant.
Why are you so weak in dreams? Like when you're trying to attack someone, it's like punching someone shallow end.
Yeah,
like.
They're trying to hit someone.
Yeah,
can't
and you run dream. Away and you're just like that. I love the dreams that you just take off, like when you're flying. I think that's amazing.
I've never had that.
I've never had that, no.
Yeah, you're running and then you just start taking off.
I've had the also unpleasant slow running dream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's crap.
Was it where you fall?
Yeah.
See, this is all fascinating for me because I'm the most boring dreamer in the world. Like, people are like, you know, what you dream about? And I'm like, oh, I met my friend for lunch.
I had a real boring dream last night. I had a dream that I kept kind of like cheating at football. Like, sly little handballs. And mm-hmm. then I kept shooting wide. There's a metaphor for you. Because I was like just dreaming about my own inability of football.
Well, I guess the big question to ask you guys is, how do you feel about a 48 team World Cup? That's coming.
Against it. Boo. We've a better chance of getting
in.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's just like an extra bit. It's not like extra rounds, is it?
I don't know. Is it bigger groups?
Yeah. So there's going to be 16 groups of three teams each. And so the top team from each will go through to the second round. So it's going to take the same amount of time. There'll be slightly more matches, but not more matches like for each team. You'll still play 7 games to win the tournament.
Okay.
Huh. It's just to get just to make more money.
But it's going
to
make loads more money. So.
Yep, so let's do it.
When's it starting?
After the next two. So we got Russia and Qatar. Where like
is Qatar actually happened?
Thousands of people
it
have
seems
died.
So,
well,
yeah.
Thousands of people have died, so you got to honor their memory somehow. like, it's a horrible.
We're too far in to pull out now. Jesus.
Are they going to be in winter?
They have to, don't they? Because like it's not physically possible to play on.
Yeah.
Wreck the season.
It's going to really wreck the season.
Apart from League of Ireland, that'll be grand.
I remember when it was announced, though. It was just so funny because England they wheeled out Beckham and they were like, you know, we have all this tradition, we have this, we definitely have this. And then it was like Russia, and then it was like Qatar, and it was like what the fuck? So transparent. You might as well have handed a fucking dollar sign bag over.
That's exactly it. Yeah, I mean, if they'd said it, the next one then was going to be in like Mark Zuckerberg's back garden or something. It couldn't have been more transparent. They were on the way.
On the roof of Trump Tower.
Have you ever been invited to? Sometimes Irish bands get the thrill of playing on the roof of Facebook and stuff like that. Like, have a girl band ever been called in for any kind of fun corporate gigs?
Nah.
Wasn't there one weird corporate gig a while ago?
don't know. We've got offered things. I can't remember. I don't know.
I think it got a bad name for it. Like, I don't think people want us to. It's not very family friendly, I guess.
3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Just wrecked the bus.
It's not fun. Like.
Pull you out of your pre-afternoon slump, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You get the rest of those reports done. We're recording live from your former work haunt.
Oh, yeah.
You've cleaned out this office before.
Yeah.
Not for us, though. But I appreciate it. It looks great.
It looks better than it did, yeah. There was an insane amount of Mundy CDs, and what was another weird band? The Walls or something.
Oh yeah, that sounds right.
Deep cuts of the Irish scene were all like in here, and then I put them in a skip. Not like I was told to, like it wasn't just like, no, death to this. It's my day off, non-uniform day, getting pretty serious. So, I worked here for about a year and a half.
Jesus. And like, how did you find that kind of behind the scenes look at the Irish music industry?
Yeah, it was a PR. It was with Friction PR. So it was like Domino Records and stuff. So Lisa still does their press.
Mm.
And then I did via college stuff, so I had to kind of fill out more hours. So the PS office was downstairs. It's gone now. So they do like beggars banquets. So I found out a bit of Rough Trade, like properly the new Rough Trade ways, I guess, through there. And I knew about Domino through that. So it was actually kind of like, it was pretty eye-opening.
He used to swipe us loads of promo CDs. Just like, I don't want CDs, but thanks.
Yeah, it was a really cool. I got a lot of CDs. Like, yeah.
Like, who wants all these CDs? Like, yeah. None of us.
If it was 10 years before, I would have been a king. Like,
well, trust me, you're lucky that it wasn't now and where you just get loads of watermarked digital copies that you usually don't play properly.
I hate them, yeah. Like, no offense to me, like, when I heard Holding Hands with Jamie, it was through that faction as well, and I was like, can I get a download of this? And they're like, no. I was like, I'm not going to leak it. And they're like, no.
I swear.
That's what everybody says they're going, like, the leakists. Geez.
But, like, it's just, like, they expire after, like, X amount of listens, and if you log in, like, in a different computer in a, you know, different place, it just, like, shuts you down.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's awful, yeah. It's so strange, and it's just, like, you know, you can trust us, man.
You figure there's something that would work out there.
Yeah, you can. I have to ask you, though. I mean, like, have you ever told anyone to, quote, shut the fuck up at a gig or in the cinema, like kind of an angry dad turning around? Because Cole Morrigan did that last weekend at a gig that we were at.
Yeah.
He told someone to shut the
fuck up. Don't apologize either.
I've definitely told someone to shut the fuck up.
It was so angry.
Like, it was just that to be involved within the arts. Like, shut the fuck up.
No, well, I mean...
Or just in general. In general. I don't know, shut the fuck up. what happened?
It was a guy just behind me who was just talking, like, incredibly loudly through a band set. And, I mean, I was... Like, at one level, you're just like, okay, have respect for the band. At another, you're just like, have respect for the audience who are clearly trying to listen to it. And I was one of those people who was really trying to listen. And yeah, after a while, I just kind of lost it.
See, I missed the first part where Cullum apparently turned around at one point and did the whole, hey man, would you mind keeping it down? I missed that bit. All I saw was you turn around and like almost fucking like, you know, rock bottom him. I was like, what the fuck's happening?
It wasn't that bad, no.
Look, I would have shut me up.
It's not the rock bottom isn't the best wrestling move.
No.
He's interesting.
What would be?
I am still kind of interesting.
You pedigreed him would have been fucking murdered.
I love Dave like, am I interesting? Oh, I don't know. We just booked our tickets to go watch the Royal Rumble
yes,
in the pub.
Did.
Fuck off.
Yeah, in the Woolshed.
What pub? The Woolshed in front of the Royal Rumble. When's the Royal Rumble?
Sunday week.
Yeah.
Oh,
by the time this podcast comes out.
We're on tour. it's the Royal Rumble.
Oh, what a letdown.
Oh, no.
I got insane. I broke up my girlfriend and pretty much just watched wrestling videos. I was like, what would the 10-year-old me love to Google? Because the 25-year-old me is dirty. So I just got really into wrestling. And then myself and Bob Gallagher, who does our videos, started our Street Wrestling Federation. World Street Wrestling Federation. We've just attacked Bob. We were in London once when we played our last gig, and I like put a fucking I have a proper submission move I made up when I was 10, which is really good.
What's it called?
The X of Age.
Okay.
Is that the name you gave it when you were 10?
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That's impressive. Very impressive.
Because you cross the legs at the back. It's kind of sexy actually. So I did a cool kind of finish on Bob, and I was pinning him, and the bouncer was just like,
get up. Like, literally, like,
He's just about to tap
3 seconds. Like, give me 3 seconds. And this Michael, will be, I'll be out of your hair.
Are you sure that Bob hadn't grabbed onto the rope here?
Yeah. It's not legal anymore.
The velvet rope from the club. And then, yeah, and then...
not the first time
we beat the shit out of Bob at our album launch.
Poor Bob, man. All he's done is make you really good videos.
Like, yeah.
We broke his phone. I found out the next day. It's like, God,
yeah,
so
we like started spinning him around on the ground as a kind of best fight.
I invented a wrestling move last week.
Oh, sick.
I'm very happy about it.
What is it?
It's called the Grafton Street Roadblock.
What is it?
And basically what it is, right, you get your opponent, right? Pick them, like, turn them upside down and you hang them in the ropes. So, like, their legs are in the top turnbuckle, their head's on the ground, and they're stuck. They can't get up.
Okay.
Because they're so beaten down at this point, like, you know, because it's time for the finisher. You then walk to the other side of the ring, you take a selfie, and then you run and you give, like, the most vicious dropkick to the face imaginable. 1, 2, 3, it's over.
Oh, it's like Shane McMahon's Coast to Coast.
Yeah, very similar, yeah, but a bit more aggressive.
In a hardcore match, you can put a trash can in their face.
Exactly, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Now we're cooking.
Have you gone to the Tivoli match?
Yes, we have.
Did you go to the X-Pac one?
No, that's the one I missed. My friend told me that he did the Bronco Buster, then hurt his back, and then, like, hobbled off into the corner.
My mate Ross just sent me a video of X-Pac dancing to... Madonna, is like a prayer, I think.
Nice.
Deep cut.
The last one I was at,
Hornswoggle, if you remember him.
That's not.
He was dancing to, what was it, Club to Death or something like that?
No, it was Tiesto Adagio for Strings.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. Oh, it's great, yeah.
And he also put somebody through a tiny table.
Yeah.
he's a tiny wrestler.
All right.
Yeah. With a big attitude. Cullum also came up with a wrestling gimmick for Mick from the Galaxy, which I'm very happy about. And we told Mick about it as well. And do you want to reveal it?
We always said that, like, he looked like he'd make a good pro wrestler. And the white power Santa Claus.
Yep.
His finishing move is like a giant
razor
power bomb. Called a sleigh ride.
Sleigh ride. It's gonna happen. We want to get him in their main event for next Christmas.
Who'd be the best wrestler in the Irish music scene?
Mundy.
I was thinking Mundy.
Oh yeah.
Damien Dempsey. Obviously.
Oh yeah.
Shit of anybody.
Damo would be great. Yeah.
He's tank.
He's not much of a. He's more of a boxer than a wrestler.
And a lover.
Would you guys be a tag team, or what would they?
We can't. We're more of a handicap team. Like, we just kick shit at Bob, really. But I think we're more like
a two guys against one.
He's like my manager who interferes, and I'm like the scumbag heel to Bob's face.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, we should probably move off wrestling because we've been given out to, though, for talking about wrestling on the show.
We have, and this feels very much like a rabbit hole that we could continue.
Sorry, just very quickly. Do you watch the What Culture stuff?
Some of it, yeah.
They have Kurt Angle in Newcastle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway.
Just announced for the WWE Hall of Fame. See, I do keep up with wrestling.
Let's get the fuck out of this. Dad's getting sad.
What I will say is that I did rewatch Austin Rock from WrestleMania 17 recently, and Jim Ross's commentary at the end of that match is amazing. It's like when Austin turns heel on The Rock and just keeps hitting him with the chair because he can't beat him, and it's a really unceremonious win. Jim Ross reacts like he's seen a member of his own family being killed in the ring.
Oh my God!
He's like, I thought I knew that man! I thought I knew him!
Son of a bitch! It's like... Okay. I think that'd be a great remix. Like, if you're fucking techno beating Jim Ross on the Austin Rock.
Get on it.
Spoken word.
Get on it. Like, you guys are musicians, you know. Like,
we have no time. We've written a musical.
No, we have. Well, we've done a lot more talking about having written.
We've talked
a
lot about our music. We've written about 30% of a Michael Owen musical.
What's it called?
Michael Owen the Musical.
MOTM, Man of the Match.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's good.
We've got like a plot arc and stuff. We've like, you know, there's a lot of spider diagrams, just not a lot of dialogue.
That says stuff like Newcastle. But it ends with a big chorus with like a football choir saying like a fans of a thing. Yeah. Like, I'm going to Stoke, baby.
I was going to ask, because the Michael Owen story right now, at least, does seem to have a pretty boring third act.
Yeah,
that's the best bit.
We don't want to give too much away, but it's kind of, he betrayed us and it's no less
when
than
he deserves. We'll give a little hint. When he goes to Man United, he goes to hell, and because the Red Devils and Alex Ferguson's the devil.
Yeah.
A
couple of
and Robbie Fowler's nickname
the
was
here.
God. It actually really writes itself.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen his, did you see his brochure that got him the move to Man United? His
Newcastle one?
His PR, like, people put together a brochure of like all his values.
Jamie sent that to me.
And it's like brand values, and they're like, one of them is like cool and fresh. clean. Yeah. You're like, what?
He sounds like an aftershave.
He is not cool.
He calls people on Twitter peasants.
He hates...
he's a bad guy. Like
he hates films. He reckons he's seen about 10 films in his entire life. Yeah. He doesn't understand the point of films.
Yeah.
He's a moron. Like, he's very good, but like... yeah.
So how much of your focus is this taking up? I mean, I take it this is a side
project.
Well,
in this interview, like most of it. Sorry,
I'd say 75%.
I don't know. We had like 3 days of like powerhouse research and like a couple of tracks. And that was about 4 months ago, 5 months ago.
It's longer now.
And I've told everyone since, lying, adding more and more lies.
Saying we're lying right now.
Don't even know what a musical is.
Yeah.
It's a tough endeavor. I mean, like, maybe it will go down well in the United States of America, where you wear...
Good link.
There you go. I can segue like I've learned from the best over here in Cullum.
That is fresh and clean.
It is fresh and clean. The reason I bring it up though is because when you played the Pitchfork Festival in Chicago, I believe it was, I was watching you on the live stream and I got to see all the YouTube comments as they happened, people commenting on it. I've got a selection here of some of them. Here's one. It says, the singer kind of looks like Justin Bieber. Then someone says, haha, yeah, I see that. And then there's a third confirmation with agreed.
The early comments.
Yeah.
Then we have we have cool guitar playing.
That was Al.
Then we have beautiful girl.
Thank you.
Then there's this is shit. Then there's that girl singer is rather butch. And then finally, this is a certified bop.
A bop,
banger. I think like,
having a bop.
People have a good time.
That's 90% good.
That seems like a pretty good batting average.
So I look like some sort of hermaphrodite
Justin Bieber
pop singer.
Yeah, how's that feel?
I don't know. When I was working at the O2 once, One Direction, Justin Bieber used to play, and at the I used to work in the shop, and when I was getting up the Lewis, I'd like a hoodie up. And I got literally mauled. It was my own little hint of Beatlemania. And then, like, this bouncer came out and just, like, pushed these 10-year-old girls back. And it was just like the bit in Father Ted with all the old ladies, like, all over the club. They're like, oh, it's not him! Do you know where he is? Do you know where he is? It's, like, real weird, like...
Kick his shins.
Yeah, it's like they went from loving me to, like, Game of Thrones villain getting, like... hung by the thumbs. Like,
that's quite. It's quite a compliment, though. To be fair, if you're going to be mistaken
what,
for
that
people,
I have a similar hoodie to the bloke from One Direction.
The only time that I've had
you
an
probably got a bigger hoodie budget.
Oh, they're going to say something else, man. You probably got a bit of effect, Daniel. Okay, thanks, Daniel.
The only time I've had an incident like that was outside a country music gig where I was wearing a hat backwards and someone assumed I was Luke Bryan. Let's go fucking figure.
Why were you wearing a backwards out of the country? Was it like Blake Shelton kind of country?
Yeah. Luke Bryan is who was playing. Yeah, it's that kind of bro country sort of
bro
shit.
Country,
like,
yeah. Bro country,
yeah.
Love bro country.
Yeah.
Bro mostly, Blake Shelton, yeah.
Bro country is the most weirdest subculture. I thought Cullen was taking the piss about it when he eventually revealed it to me one day when we were still working in Hot Press. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, you're just making this up. No, you're like, no, this is massive.
Damn. Yeah, it's huge.
It's like all the YouTube videos have like 18 million like views and all this stuff.
Put a big F U in my future.
Yeah.
Put the hang.
Put the SOB and sober.
Yeah. Put the hang and hangover. Hangover! Yeah. That's class.
Yeah.
And it's all like guns, because like Cullen was saying recently that like one of the guys at that festival who has the greatest tattoo of all time. Can you get
it's less guns, more trucks and
trucks,
beer
and girls. Yeah.
Have you heard about truck nuts? Which is a real thing in some parts of the United States where they it's like big plastic testicles that you put at the end, like the back of your truck because you know you're such a big man that even your truck has giant plastic balls.
Yeah, this is the we actually discussed this recently on an episode.
Are you taking a selfie?
No, this is Brantley Gilbert and the tattoo that he has. to prove just what a giant man he is.
Holy moly.
It's a giant word amendment and then the text of the second amendment of the United States Constitution over two giant guns.
Two giant handguns, like angel wings.
Mr. Cool Ice?
Yeah.
He's got one scary back, doesn't he?
Yeah, it doesn't
part
he just.
His right arm. His right arm looks like a little baby if you actually crop it out like that.
He does have a big baby's arm.
He has a real big baby's arm and a real serious.
So you guys
back.
Didn't like do anything crazy when you're over and say it's like getting any like gun tattoos. There's nothing we should be concerned
funny
about.
Or guns that. For that matter.
Bling. We got like 50 cent bling disposal.
We were stopped at this place for ages and we spent about $5 on this like loads of gold and fake tattoos. And I got one on my chest that said courage on it. It was like a little stick-on thing. And Adam put it up on our Instagram. And my sister saw it and was like talking to my mom. And she said something like, oh, Jared Dara got a tattoo. My mom was like freaked out. And then she's like, oh, but it's really tasteful. Literally a picture of a lion that said courage underneath.
I think I've got a picture of you.
And my mom believed it for months. And I rang her up and was like, do you know how to calm down a tattoo rash? She's like, oh, I hate you.
Here's some of the bling. I don't have any of the tattoos.
Wow. there's some amazing rings you're wearing there.
That is quite... Yeah, you look like a darts player or something.
Yeah. Got a lot of comparisons.
It was in
comparisons.
I think it was in proper rural Pennsylvania. And us sitting around and just people who are these freaks?
Yeah, just putting on lots of rings and laughing.
You don't even know how to wear bling.
Yeah. Well, you were saying before, you get different crowd reactions to where you go. How did America take to you? Because, the likes of Pitchfork kind of supporting you, going over, there definitely was a bit of a, buzz. So, obviously you're playing that festival and others in particular. So, was it overall good or was there any weirdness?
Yeah, really good. It's kind of the same, most places you get. It's just, a matter of, it more depends on, the amount of people in a room and the club and what day it is and what time and how pissed people are. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Even a Pitchfork, we played a club show later that night and obviously we were playing at 12:30 one or two in the afternoon at the festival, and it's sunny and people are having a bit of a bop. But later that night it's we played a club show that night and it's people have been out on the lash all day and it's much more of a kind of raucous thing. So
does your approach change from gig to gig? Because for anyone who hasn't seen you live, it's pretty fucking intense basically. Yeah. Are there ever days where you're just oh, I couldn't be arsed giving it socks tonight?
No, it's kind of it's real for me anyway. I can't really speak for the rest of them, but it's kind of a real step-by-step thing. And it's every gig is kind of a paint-by-numbers thing where it's every step has to do that, so I'm literally concentrating on every little kind of syllable or whatever,
right.
And it's kind of a little game where I have to kind of hit the notes, and it's just being a bit of a weirdo about
you're
it.
You're playing real life rock band basically.
Essentially, yeah. It's art imitating life imitating art or something.
Yeah, it does naturally change. If you're playing to two people in
Monday somewhere.
Yeah, it's it is gonna be different as opposed to somewhere that's rammed and really sweaty. It is gonna, the energy in the room is gonna be different just inherently. But you still approach it, you still just kind of go on and do it. It's the most fun part of the day if you're on tour. Right. If the rest of it is sitting down and waiting around. So when you get to that, it isn't oh shite, I have to dial it in now. It's oh, this is the payoff.
Yeah.
And that's the most fun part of it. So you get up and enjoy yourself regardless, really.
Is it easy to do?
No. It's
it looks like it could be emotionally taxing just kind of tapping into that zone every night.
Sometimes. There's certain songs that kind of do that. And sometimes, like Metropolis we played, and I got sick on stage because I just couldn't really breathe. And then, when that happened, it's kind of, it took a while to kind of be able to do that song again. And there's kind of you kind of get mental, I get mental blocks on certain songs where I can't hit that note or whatever.
Yeah, but I'd say it would probably be more emotionally draining for you. Singing is inherently different than playing.
I'm
you
bollocks
can
after
go and you go and play, but it's screaming your bollocks off is a totally different thing in a feeling kind of way, I would imagine.
Yeah. But like I do like warm ups and prep and stuff like that.
So it wasn't that much trouble. Did you get sick mid song or was this?
Yeah,
it was new the song. It was a new song. The first time we ever played it.
I projectile vomited everywhere.
Oh god!
It was.
And then went off stage. Adam gave me his top. Daniel played the national anthem. I came back on. Finished
just
the set.
Stalled the crowd.
And then we did an interview at Hot Press and was filmed. And I literally came out of the bathroom after getting sick. And I'm really pale. And I'm with Daniel. And I'm just shouting. And it's like, yeah, I got sick ever, man. Ha! And then left and got more sick. And like, it's awful. It was, and then it happened in other voices. It was like.
Not during it.
Yeah, it was literally two songs in. It was like, I am definitely going to get sick in 20 minutes ish. Like, around that time. And then, like, song later, 10 minutes. Oh. And then just kind of like.
You made it through to the end of the
And then, like, the last note, I think we played Paul or something. And it was just like. At the end, and it just ran we out. Were supposed to stay for like the little weird wave thing with the prize washing machine or whatever in the background kind of buzz, and then I just literally ran away. I was, you could probably you might be able to hear it. I don't know. It was just like,
well, they're not gonna. I don't.
Yeah, it, just, it, it like, as in like just go like, what was it like? Oh, I think I'm definitely gonna get sick. And I just leave the stage, and then the way you get into the church is you go through the window on the
for the backstage. Like.
So I run. Through the back room and just jump out the window and get sick midair. And then, you know, real babe magnet.
maybe you should just consider going full sort of like death metal and incorporating this into your stage performance.
Yeah,
like a Gigi Allen gig.
Yeah.
Or Fat Boy so Family or some shit.
Yeah. It's more kind of like, does anyone have a baby wipe as opposed to like, you know, a record deal and some sort of hardcore label. Like, it's not. It's not as fun. It's not even cool looking sick. It's kind of like.
I've seen you get sick. I've seen you get sick. It ain't pretty. Like.
I've seen you get sick in a clear bag for like an hour.
Yeah, we were trying. We're on the
M1. We couldn't laugh or anything because
I was really, really hungover and just like.
I got sick out of a car window on the M1 because I was actually going to record my old band's first ever EP, and I got destroyed the night before because I was a fucking idiot. I was like, oh, I remember like I was coming from college and I got to my mates and I was like, look at this weather. It was like May or something. And I was like, this is like the first night of the summer. That's what it feels like, you know? And I went and got like a fucking rake of cans, just kept drinking like until like 5 a.m. The next day, like I was late to the studio, my mates rang me and they were like, where are you? And I was like, oh, I'm on the road. And they're like, it doesn't sound like you're on the road. Get the fuck here. So my dad's driving me to the thing and like I'm just feeling horrendous. I'm just trying to like get into some kind of zen mode and I'm just thinking like calm blue ocean. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. And my dad like almost misses a turn so he jerks the car and my stomach was like, fuck you. So pairing down the motorway and I turn around to my dad and I'm trying not to let him know how much of a mess his son is. Yeah. And I'm like, I go, can you pull over for a second? And he goes, we're on the motorway. And I'm like, forget it. And I'm like, ring, like fucking like down, like head out the window like a dog, vomit. And I come back into the car and my dad's like, what the fuck? And I go, I'm so sorry. And then like smash cut to like me buying like a Lucozade and a pack of crisps in a petrol station. I look out the window and I'll never forget the image of my dad throwing a bucket of water onto the car. And I was like, yeah. That's me.
I was about to say, yeah, the rules of comedy do dictate that when you vomit out a window, it has to splash back onto the window behind you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, causing the car to like careen out of control or something. So the new material is vomit-inducing. That's how we should describe
it. Apparently, yeah. I was hoping for a bit more melody, but apparently. Yeah.
What is the status of new material? I mean, I presume you're kind of working at your own pace.
Yeah, we've written a couple of, like, we have a load of ideas, like, I swear. like that we've been kind of chipping away. Dan bought a tape machine recently and kind of made our practice space into a really nice demo studio kind of thing, so we've been kind of chipping away at that. And we've got like we played two new ones recently and then we've kind of got two newish ones. Maybe we'll get it. We won't get it for this tour for that one, but
yeah, it's just basically like sitting down hammering through it over the next couple of months. Then just like seeing where we're at.
Have you started making your own instruments yet? I know that was a thing that was hinted at some point in an interview that you did.
Adam was like having a lot of big talk about like modifying some snare drum that he's like literally been talking about this for like 3-4 years. Like a lot of big talk, a lot of small.
We've written songs based on when the snare is that.
Yeah. It's like, yep, I'll bring it home. tomorrow. Yeah. It's like, you lying bastard. Yeah.
I got an organ recently, and I absolutely love it. So I think it's just the start of the year. I've written about 5 hours of music, which is pretty much just a samba beat, is it all? It's like for 5 hours.
Are you the sort that want to kind of live test everything and road test everything before you put it to studio?
I think it's just going to happen that way.
Like a lot of it, yeah, that'd be cool. Because you kind of figure out what's wrong.
Right.
By true playing it live, sometimes you're like, oh yeah, I shouldn't do that. And just more like kind of nuancey kind of stuff, you just kind of get used to like, oh yeah, I can change that and I shouldn't like hit it so hard there, and you just get your real small, like minute details worked out on the stage.
I mean, I ask because it's obviously the natural way to approach a first album, where you're going to just be playing it at gigs anyway, and then you get into studio. But with your second, I guess you can kind of.
It's probably a bit going to be a bit more mixed match, I'd imagine. Like even inherently in the kind of way that we wrote it as well, because some of it was like written through, just like doing it into the box, or like not all of us in the room. At the same time, for some of the material, like the majority of it would just be like us in the room bashing it out. But so it will be probably a bit different, but I would hope that most of it would be played live before we record.
Yeah.
Do you have a dog in the fight at this year's Choice Music Prize as former nominees?
Rustinjano. Is that what I said it right?
Is that what you said?
Rustinjano?
Is it Gano?
Rustinjano.
Is it Gano? Yeah.
I've heard different variations.
I say it different every time.
You say orange as well.
Yeah, that's so my only flaw. Like,
orange.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's orange, like.
Yeah. We're afraid of sponges.
Yeah.
What?
I'm not afraid of sponges. I'm afraid of things. And it's not like fear.
Sponge-like things.
You know, like things with lots of little holes in them and kind of like.
Like cheese, golf like balls.
Well, or a whisper.
A whisper, yeah. It's more like the texture
I've
of
seen
things
you
like
whisper.
Porous things. I like whispers, yeah.
Do you like it because you're going to destroy the little.
Do you know, like naturally occurring, like asymmetrical patterns?
Right.
Like honeycomb. Or like
his hands always freak out when he's talking about the holes.
like certain like, do you know when you go to the beach and the rocks have loads of little holes in them? Yeah, that freaks the shit out of me. It's not fear, it's more
orange.
Like it induces a feeling of physical disgust more than actual fear. But he says orange, so you know.
It's just my
hands are tied.
I assume that's part of a slow mission to get it so that it actually rhymes with something, right?
What do you mean?
Well, orange doesn't rhyme with anything.
Yeah, actually,
funny
you say that. That song you got sick in has a rhyme for orange.
Oh, really?
Door hinge, which I stole from Leonard Cohen.
Well, you know,
he said it in an interview. I checked all his songs.
He's gone now. You can pilfer away.
He'll be dancing with a vacuum soon in an advert.
It's one of those great lines from Danny Wallace where he said that couples whose names rhyme are just inherently better matched for each other, like, you know, Ben and Jen or something. And that's why William of Orange never found true happiness.
But Ben Affleck, I said, two girlfriends / wives named Jen and didn't work out. So that's your fucking theory.
Well, it worked,
Spike, doesn't it, mate?
They each worked for a while.
Maybe he's just a
wanker. Still believe.
I still believe in Bennifer. Who's your favorite celebrity couple, guys?
Ever?
You know, all time is a big question.
Yours is probably JFK and Marilyn Monroe, controversially, is it?
Nah.
He has two JFK records. Three JFK records. JFK documentaries.
Same one. I've got two of the same documentary and a memorial record.
Wow.
JFK.
Like, of his speeches, or...?
The documentary one is pretty much made up out of his speeches.
Yeah.
And then the memorial one I actually haven't listened to yet.
I'm excited.
I just like to look at it.
Okay. Yeah.
Favourite celebrity couple? Who's Balotelli going out with?
It's just whoever he's with.
Yeah.
Does that still sting that Balotelli didn't work out at Liverpool?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad it happened.
Yeah, I'm like, actually, in a way,
really
I'm kind of glad,
glad
it was a total train wreck. Cause it's,
no, I'm glad
it's
he came.
Like vintage Balotelli.
He's the best.
Yeah. He's a legend.
I wish he was still around. I don't even get frustrated. I'd feel very pissed off when people to give out about him.
I was kind of more annoyed at everyone else for not like letting him get away with it.
Yeah.
Well, look, you mentioned Riz and Gana Family there, who are up for the Choice this year. Before we get to your gig, which they will be featuring on, how did you find the Choice? Like, was it kind of a weird night? Because like, Colm was on the judging panel this year.
Oh.
So, but so, yeah. And
how many even like crusty sharky managers bribed you yet?
No, not yet.
Okay,
not yet.
Yeah, he's hopeful though. But Craig was
says with a wink.
Craig Fitzpatrick, who is our other host, who couldn't be here this evening, wanted me to pass on. He said that you guys were fucking robbed. So there you go.
It's best to hex at 4 a.m.
Yeah, he's still not happy about it. So yeah, like, was it a strange night? I mean, it's obviously
it was a weird day. Adam dressed like we kind of made him dress in a top hat and like a handlebar, and like he looked amazing.
Yeah, he looked great.
And then we just kind of sat there because we weren't playing. Mm. So
it was pretty funny.
It was funny, and you kind of knew everyone. So it was like
just a bit of a piss up. Yeah. Just a bit of crack.
Your man.
Did you care much about it?
Like, it would have been
not care. I was kind of
the
like,
novelty size check would have been nice, but yeah, like, right. You know, it was like, I didn't like it's not it, the
it's,
end of the
it's,
world.
A, it's not like it, we aimed to get it, but like, yeah. Not like putting it down or anything. Like, it's
yeah, it was cool, and it was like an honor to be like nominated for it and stuff. But like, at the end of the day, you don't really care that much,
sure.
Like, you know,
I mean, I also asked for you guys because like you had a lot of international attention. You know, before the first album even dropped, whereas a lot of bands would obviously, you know, sort of be making waves around Dublin or around Ireland. You guys had already made a name in the UK and had, you know, the coverage there. Mm-hmm. So were your sights always probably kind of set a little further afield than just achieving something in this country?
Yeah.
Thank you, Roger Waters.
But yeah, right from the
as
from
Roger like, Waters one tagged. Yes.
Yeah. But like even from like early on when we started playing, it was like, oh yeah, we wanted to. That was like one of our things we like set out to do in that kind of aspect of the band, was like play outside of Ireland and not just end up doing what a lot of Irish groups do, which is just play around Ireland.
Yeah,
all the time.
The other thing, I mean, is that like one kind of definitely feeds the other, because when you have that sort of attention from the UK, it almost legitimizes you in a sense, kind of elevates above maybe other Irish acts who are just within the
really
bubble.
I don't really see it in a kind of like a who's better than who's biggest kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I never really
it kind of does
see
show
the point in seeing bands. Yeah. Like, I want to be the biggest band in the world. Seems like a fucking nightmare.
Well, no, I mean, yeah. I mean,
I know what you mean, though. Yeah, it's like,
I mean, I know this just because, I mean, we're as guilty of it as sort of, you know, Irish music journalists as anybody, that, you know, if you kind of have a blog that's going to mention 4 new bands a week for 6 months, you know, suddenly you've got 24 bands and it's difficult to necessarily sort the wheat from the chaff there. That people are probably overwhelmed by the amount of attention sometimes. I mean, I know Richie Egan Jape talked about this a while back, where he said that you almost need some sort of recognition from abroad before people here necessarily start taking it seriously.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's slightly fickle, but it's just kind of.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It kind of, you have to kind of sometimes return as a hero, I guess.
Yeah.
For want of a better phrase, like.
I suppose it's pretty, like, Ireland's so small, though, anyway, that it's kind of, like, you know, it's kind of like a classic kind of Irish thing, do you know what I mean? That, like, people, like, look to get legitimised from outside of it, which is, like, kind of bollocks, but, like, yeah. It's just kind of the way it is.
In breaking new territories, though, like, is it annoying to have to keep kind of explaining your name or, like, you know, kind of find that people are perturbed by it?
We kind of get, like, two types of feminists talking about the name to us on Twitter, and one would be like a kind of bit more well read, like into it a bit more and support the name, and then the other hand there'd be someone who just kind of goes like, how dare you do that. But like
well, it wouldn't be like there was one more well read, it's just like two different perspectives.
No, like as in like well read on the subject, you know what I mean, a bit more just judging from just conversations I've had on it, as opposed to just kind of like putting your fingers in your ears like this is shit and then not listening to any kind of thing from it.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by it. It wasn't just like...
Yeah.
That's why sometimes it's kind of like that.
Like trying to explain yourself or just... Because it's hard not to be kind of defensive about it because you don't want to come across like a wanker. which is like kind of hard to do. Like, cause,
sure.
Like it's pretty hard to justify it in a way.
People seem to take offense though. Like yeah, there totally, is an aspect to that. I mean, it was never conjured up for that reason.
Yeah. No, not at all.
I mean, the difficulty is almost in proving a negative there, which is inherently difficult to do. So that when somebody says, "Oh, so you're not being offensive," and you're like, "Well, how do I prove to you that I'm not being offensive?"
Our mates via Kong are now preoccupations. When they change their name, they're telling us about it. And it's just like when they change it to preoccupations, someone just goes, "Oh yeah, change your name. Like, what are you preoccupied by everyone's opinion?" They're like, "Oh, great!" Like, can't win.
The whole offense thing.
If you're like, called even... like Jam, someone would go like, "Oh, Jam. Jesus died covered in jam." Like.
Yeah, like even like kind of changing your neighbors or like kind of admitting fault is kind of hard to do because then you're just like completely surrendering to a thing that you didn't mean at all in the first place, you know? Yeah.
And have you actually had people kind of be like, "You should change your name," or like, is this
well, probably. Sometimes, but, like, we do get the odd person on Twitter or whatever.
See, I must say, like, the fact that anybody had taken any offense to your name had actually passed me by completely until maybe 3-4 months ago. I think it was actually like while we were live recording, somebody told me, and I was like, "Fucking hell, what's the world coming to?" So yeah, you won't have to defend yourselves to me, fellas.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I heard you're a dirty fighter.
It was kind of like shocking to us when it kind of first came up as an issue. It's like even the first time I would like, it's like, oh God, there's actually like women who I'm friends with who are actually offended by this. And I was like, it kind of freaked me out. I was like, oh, bollocks. You know, this is like totally not what was meant by this at all. Like it's an in-joke.
Yeah.
And like kind of an in-joke making fun of like people being macho, you know, it's like,
sure.
You're a girl, dude, you know, and that was kind of the joke, you know, it's just kind of a shitty feeling to feel like you're being misconstrued.
Yeah. Moving on, but on the same vein of sort of, you know, starter questions, I suppose, you know, are you guys moving into kind of new territories over the next little while? I saw you're playing Japan, for instance. Have you been there before?
No, never. Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm very really fun. Excited, yeah.
We have a week off around the gig, I think. That's what we're planning. So.
Oh, sweet. So you actually get to see the place as well.
Yeah, it'd be lovely, yeah.
Like, when you're going out there, I mean, like, do you know how much they know you, so to speak?
No idea.
Really, yeah.
We know we have to do like an hour-long signing session, so that'll be pretty
interesting. Oh, that's a decent sign.
Like, that's going to no be one's like here, proper, great. Yeah. Smell the glove kind of thing. Yeah. Like just like sitting there like,
yeah, ooh. Oh,
this is my fault, fellas. It's okay. Yeah, yeah. You know, like, oh shit. I think we've sold some records over there, so like, you know, hopefully some
people. Again, that's a good indicator.
Yeah.
It's a good sign, yeah. Oh, it'd be so good. I mean, like, I was thinking earlier on about the whole choice thing. It'd be like, you know, like I'd love to be able to one stand next to a novelty check. You know, get my photograph next to that thing. And like, because like, what do you do? Like, do you cash it? Or are you like, can I frame this?
I'd totally bring it into a bag because they wouldn't know what to do. Like,
trying to get it under the till.
Folding under the till.
I think you find everything's in order. it is legal tender. But another thing, you know, the whole big in Japan thing. I mean, like if no encore took off only in Japan, I'd be like, oh, no, I'm happy with that. I'll take that, you know?
Yeah, I could work with it.
Yeah. It seems like a cool culture. You know?
Nice place to pop over every now and then.
Yeah man. I just imagine everything in Japan looks like Blade Runner. So like, I hope that that's the case.
As do I.
You can come back and report back to us afterwards. Of course, closer to home, you guys are going to be in Vickers Street very soon.
Yep, massive gig.
Yeah, we mentioned Rusangano Family are part of that.
17th of February, guests on the night including Rusangano Family and Lynched alongside DJ sets from James Smith Morrow, Jeff Travis of Rough Trade and Aisling O'Riordan. That's a hell of a lineup, guys.
Yeah.
It's like a mini festival.
We got Jeanette Lee is going to be DJing with Jeff as well.
Yeah.
It's like the two Rough Trade head honchos.
The king and queen of the trade.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously like Pieta House, of course, is, you know, like a non-profit suicide and self-harm crisis center. Offer free counseling to people who are feeling suicidal, people who are engaging in self-harm, and those bereaved by suicide. 18 centers across Ireland and operate a free 24/7 suicide helpline at 1800-247-247. And was this in the works for quite some time? Because like it's something that's very, very personal and passionate to the band. So,
yeah, we knew we wanted to do something and we weren't sure exactly what. So it's kind of like the idea has been there for ages, and then we kind of like found a time, like this was a time that actually makes sense to go and do this. And we're like, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah. You know?
With all proceeds, of course, going to Pieta House. It's I mean, it's getting a lot of attention. Even the lineup alone is like it's very eclectic. Like, were you guys? Did you have full bore? Were you able to create this thing completely?
Pretty
yeah,
Woods.
We picked that, yeah.
Cool. And it'll be like a full girl band set as well on top of everything else.
The whole shebang.
Sounds like it's going to run until about 4 a.m.
I think that's the idea.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay, sweet. Yeah. Awesome.
Are there surprises in store for people? I mean, obviously you mentioned a couple of...
I had this idea... Right.
So it's not going to be
the
a surprise
premiere,
anymore.
The premiere of the Michael Owen musical.
I haven't.
Now that we have you all
gonna,
here.
It's never, ever, ever going to happen. It's never going to happen. It might, but it's never going to happen. But I had this idea that for like a song that has like a really like intense chorus, or so we have a few of them, a real intense bit, just without warning, just take off on the stage with like a strings and the thing and just literally just take off and then like just disappear, like have me seen,
and they were
six
never
months.
Seen
never seen again. Like we just like literally just take off, but
they've gone to work on the new
record. I think it'd be much the end of Greece. It's like, yeah, that's my dream, that's to take off.
I feel like that can be achieved, though. Like, I mean,
if Tommy Lee could do floating drum solos, then we could definitely just yoink you backstage and
drag me up on a rope in a nice way.
by your feet. Like, yeah.
It's kind of that weird thing. I mean, like, part of the reason to promote the gig is you kind of mentioned like stigma when it comes to mental health issues in this country, which is, it's funny because, like, I mean, like, well, I mean, it's not funny, but it's interesting because, I mean, I remember thinking, I was like, we are getting better at this kind of thing. We are getting better at breaking down these barriers and talking about it and kind of putting ourselves out there a bit more. But then, like, I mean, when Kanye West had his very publicized breakdown, like, I remember, like, hearing people on the, like, DJs on the radio, like, laughing and joking about it.
Yeah, it's like he got the piss taken out.
Completely.
That whole
thing. That was disgusting.
It was gross. Yeah. Absolutely horrible.
Love Kanye.
But like on the same, they're gonna have Brezzy on like probably like on the same week on the same show to talk about his issues, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why? I know Kanye West is a provocateur, but like this is not all right. And so yeah, because I've seen people kind of say, oh, you know, like there isn't a stigma about mental health, and they're on like it's all brand. But like I disagree.
Yeah,
personal experience as well.
Totally. I mean, yeah, at a certain level, you feel like there's always going to be that at some level. It's just about starting to break it down, which I think we are making some progress.
Definitely,
it isn't like it's most likely probably a pretty slow process, because like things with stigma is just like most, or I don't know, like a lot of people anyway wouldn't have any first-hand experience with people with mental health problems. So like that's where it's like, oh well, they're just feckin' mad, you know what I mean? And that's, you know, and if you've no direct like experience like dealing with someone like those problems, you're just gonna, that's where things like stigma kind of come in, because it's just like lack of understanding, you know?
I mean, I guess to wrap up, what I would say though is, can we expect to see a girl band play at a wrestling show? Because I feel like that would be the best way to really kind of tie it all in. Whether
this guy gets his way.
Yeah, me and the organ in the ring. The dream, just giving the X of age to the organ.
I feel like WrestleMania though, like kind of playing someone in, playing like Triple H to the ring or something.
That would be kind of cool.
Motorhead
did it.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Cool.
And look
time
at them.
To play the game.
With like lyrics that like were.
They're a really good wrestling band, I'd say.
Limp Bizkit did it, of course. Limp Bizkit. You can unlock Fred Durst and SmackDown too.
I mean, last year, didn't Snoop Dogg rap as Sasha Banks went down? They're cousins.
Yes,
so,
he did.
Yeah.
We've had POD in the past. They were there for Rey Mysterio.
Did you know that the women's champion. I don't watch like contemporary wrestling. I'm old school.
You're too cool for that.
Yeah, I am. That I hope so. Yeah, I never would say that to anyone like that, but yeah, fucking I am. New wrestling is crap. But the Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch, yeah.
She went to our school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, back when she was just Rebecca Quinn.
Yeah. Rebecca Quinn. She's like, it's like she's really good and everything, but like there's just, because she's, you know, an Irish person in America. The Irishness of it is ramped up a bit.
Yeah.
And she's
in
like
a Devon accent.
Yeah, and it's like, and she has that weird thing of being like Irishness. She has that weird thing of just like, you know, she's like, she does the Conor McGregor, like, we're not here to take part, we're here to take over.
Yeah,
and you're
sure.
Just like,
yeah.
And it's just, it's very like, you know, I don't know. It's
too close to home.
It's cringe.
I mean, I must say, I did.
I fucking hate Conor McGregor.
Damn, I fucking hate Conor McGregor.
Yeah,
I'm sure
he can.
Yeah, like, there's no feet in kicking the shit out of me. Yeah. Like, there's no.
I must say,
are you calling out Conor McGregor right now?
Don't call him out.
Yeah. Fuck it. Yeah, come on.
Here we go. This just got interesting.
That would be a sad, sad sight.
No, you see, I'm not saying
ridiculous shit.
Yeah. Just like,
I always
a novelty check on the line.
Sorry. I always do appreciate like someone like Conor McGregor or Sheamus that go in WWE or Becky Quinn or Becky Lynch or whatever her name is, because.
When
because when they threaten somebody, like when you get like a slick talking American guy, like, you know, going like, you know, yo, if you take one step closer, I'ma kick your ass. You're just like, well, I've never heard somebody say that. Whereas when they say, like, if you take one step closer, I'm gonna put your jaw through your face. You're like,
your dad.
I was told that last weekend. Yeah. You know, yeah. It brings it all home.
Or you just go like, fucking slap.
So what's the Conor McGregor beef apart from the obvious?
Go on, Daniel, call the fucker out. Yeah.
Like it's so
dangerous.
Yeah, it's obvious. But, like, why anyone would hate that guy? Like,
Daniel, like,
we once got me and Al once got kicked out of a taxi for giving out. We were giving out about Conor McGregor, and
the guy was like, "It's probably like
turned down the radio." Was like, "That man is an Irish warrior." And we were like, broke his shit lap. And he's like pulled over on the keys, like, guess it's about here then, isn't it?
And the thing was, sure, it was literally a minute. Like, you could see our destination. Like,
but slamming, like,
that's
I fucking hate the Eagles. Kind of buzz.
Yeah. It's gas.
Jesus.
He's a bad example. He just teaches people to walk around like assholes.
I do not represent Daniel Fox.
All the little McGregor clones walking around town.
Don't get this minions. That's the first stage. He's the boss level. Oh.
So that's Daniel Fox of Girl Band.
Take it out on anyone who likes UFC.
Yeah.
Or general violence. Yeah. Bring it on.
Oh, man. I'm ready. General violence would be a great wrestling.
You went terribly.
Great wrestling gimmick. General violence.
General violence.
Yeah,
good.
Please don't kill me.
Okay, well, if you make it to Vicar Street, February 17, a hell of a lineup. Tickets on sale now via Ticketmaster.
Stage of Fight McGregor.
All your usual outlets, and if Daniel's wearing a full body cast at that gig, you'll know why. So, thanks so much, guys, for coming in.
No problem.
I hope I haven't put a bullseye on your back or anything, but
you might have. I'm scared.
I'm terrified.
I'm fine.
It's going to be all good. And that about does it. Thank you.
Thanks
so much.
Really.
Cheers, guys.
So that was Girl Band ahead of their show in Vicar Street on February the 17th in aid of Pieta House. And very, very raucous it will be too, providing, of course, they get there in one piece. Another live show that may interest you, listener, No Encore Live. If you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, anything that you can get on your Android device or whatever it is you use to listen to podcasts. We are doing a live podcast in the Workman's Club on March the 2nd. It's going to be kind of this crazy Jules Holland type experience, but, you know, a bit better than that, we hope. We have an incredible lineup of people. We have Windings, we have Bantam, we have Week of Corners, we have Farrah L, and of course, we have your regular No Encore boys, the No Encore Wrecking Crew. I'm very, very excited about it. I think it's going to be terrific. So you can get tickets for that at noencorelive.eventbrite.ie. There are early bird tickets available right now, unless they've already sold out, which may be happening. I suggest you get up there and give it a go. Come down on the 2nd to the Workman's Club. It's going to be awesome. And once again, thank you so much to Girl Band for coming in. It was an interview I've wanted to get done for a long time, and it was. I think it was great. I thought it was completely all over the place in the best possible way. And with that in mind, to play us out, we'll have Girl Band and Pears for Lunch.
Spend my time watching Tokyo. HPN, the Headstuff Podcast Network. See headstuff.org for more details.